ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये।
We're continuing our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on Canto 8, Chapter 5, The Demigods Appeal to the Lord. Today's verse is 45.
Satvam no darshayat manam asmat karana gocharam prapananam dadrikshunam sasmitam te mukham bhujam sa.
He, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Twam,
you are my Lord.
Na,
to us.
Darshaya,
be visible.
Atmanam,
in your original form.
Asmatkarana gocharam,
appreciable by our direct senses, especially by our eyes.
Prapananam,
we are all surrendered unto you.
Dadrikshunam,
yet we wish to see you.
Sasmitam,
smiling.
Te,
your.
Mukha ambujam,
lotus-like face. Translation. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are surrendered unto you, yet we wish to see you. Please make your original form and smiling lotus face visible to our eyes and appreciable to our other senses. Please repeat. O Supreme Personality of Godhead,
we are surrendered unto you,
yet we wish to see you.
Please make your original form
and smiling lotus face
visible to our eyes
and appreciable to our other senses. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The devotees are always eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His original form, with His smiling lotus-like face. They are not interested in experiencing the impersonal form. The Lord has both impersonal and personal features. The impersonalists have no idea of the personal form feature of the Lord. The impersonalists have no idea of the personal feature of the Lord. But Lord Brahma and the members of His disciplic succession want to see the Lord in His personal form. Without a personal form, there can be no question of a smiling face, which is clearly indicated here by the words Sasmitam te mukham bhujam. Those who are in the Vaishnava Sampradaya of Brahma always want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are eager to realize the Lord's personal feature, not the impersonal feature. As clearly stated here, asmat karana gocharam, the personal feature of the Lord can be directly perceived by our senses.
Satvam no darshayatmanam asmat karana gocharam prapananam dadrikshunam sasmitam te mukham bhujam.
O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are surrendered unto you, yet we wish to see you. Please make your original form and smiling lotus face visible to our eyes and appreciable to our other senses. This is a very reasonable request based on the nature of living beings. The Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Acharyas, in it argue that we desire specificity. We like to see detail. In fact, most living entities have this propensity. If you ever have a conversation with someone, and during the conversation you're wondering, what is the point the person is trying to make? They may go on with generalities, and the audience will begin to nod their heads in sleep, because there's no specific point. If someone writes an essay and they make no specific points, it will not be regarded very well. In fact, writing teachers say that make the readers see it. The details should be there. They're looking out a window, they're seeing every detail, and they're appreciating. When you fly in an airplane, after 10 hours, that feeling of anxiety that comes in, it's due to lack of variety. There's nothing to see in there except for the televisions glittering throughout the glowing throughout the fuselage. When people touch down and they're able to step on the earth again, they feel again relieved. Now I can look around, I can see colors, different varieties of textures and air and so forth. So it's very natural for us to desire to see detail and specifics in the world. And when it comes to the practice of spiritual life, our shastras say that it's absolutely vital that one come to the point of seeing the Lord and the Lord's features. He has features. They're described throughout the Bhagavatam and many of the prayers that the great acharyas have written. And oftentimes when we distribute these to the world, people are a little taken aback. It's not so common that people come out and speak about God as a person to begin with. What to speak of a person that one could describe in detail? It's actually shocking to people. Once in the Denver airport, many years ago, I was distributing Srimad Bhagavatam's Canto 2 because we used to distribute whatever they'd bring us, and that just happened to be available. And there was some description of the universal form of the Lord and all the details of the parts of the body of the Lord. And a cowboy bought a book from me and came back a half hour later and wanted his money back. I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Just give me my money back." But he handed me the book with his finger on the page and just walked away. And it was a description of the universal form of the Lord, which is anatomically correct and described. He didn't appreciate it very much, that the Lord had features, like he has features. However, without this, we get what's called avoidance. The whole strategy in the material world is called avoidance, which is an interesting word because we talk about it in our Siddhanta, that we abhor a void. That is the void, the idea that ultimately the absolute truth is nothing. And if you think about the word avoid, people are avoiding the details of Krishna's spiritual world and the spiritual world. Of course, Krishna says in the Gita, Vitaraga Bhaya Krodas, he says that there are various reasons why we do that, because we're attached to the material world, or we're afraid because it's always diminishing. Whatever detail we become attached to, in due course of time, evaporates, and we can't hold on to it anymore. So through the logical conclusion of the mind, I think perhaps that the opposite of the material world, spiritual world, means to avoid, to come to the point of impersonalism. Therefore, it's a great boon to the world that we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, Anarto Pasanam Sakshat, Bhakti Yoga Nahoksaje, Lokasya Ajanato Vidmams, Chakre Sakvata Samhitam. Srila Vyasadeva had a conversation with his spiritual master and came to this conclusion. This is in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavatam, first canto. Narada told his disciple Vyasadeva that unless you describe more vividly the details of the spiritual world, of the personality of God and himself, then people will stay asleep in material life. And they won't wake up and become attracted to the detail, the specificity of the spiritual world, if they don't have the superior image to look at, a place to concentrate their minds. That's also confirmed. The 10th canto, when the demigods were praying to Lord Krishna in the womb, saying that your coming to this world is a great benediction for everyone, because then we'll be able to see you. We'll see your face. We'll see your activities. Yene rivindaksha vamuktamaninas toyasta bhavarada fushuda puraya aruya krishnena parampadam tata patantya to anadrita yushmadangraya. They said, unless people are able to see your face, paraphrasing, yene ravindaksha vamuktamaninas, the Lord has eyes, and they're beautiful. And unless one comes to know this, means that there's some relationship. Those eyes are looking at you, noticing what you're doing or not doing. And you feel that personal presence in your life. And you have a place to focus your attention on the beautiful form of the Lord. Yene vivanaksha vamuktamaninas toyasta bhavada vashudha buddhaya. Then, he said, then one's intelligence is impure, still attached to the lower energies of the material world, the details of the material world, which are arbitrary. We simply put categories together in our mind. And these are called the world of names by Shukadeva Goswami. We concoct, this is my family, this is my nation, this is my football team. And therefore, I derive some happiness in that specific information. But it won't last. And anyone who finds any kind of so-called liberation in this world that doesn't include seeing the form of the Lord, aruya krishchena, it will be very difficult to do anyway. Aruya krishchena paramparam tata patantyato. One will fall back down again from that position, not having complete satisfaction. We hear in the Bhagavatam about the conversion experiences of various devotees or soon-to-be devotees like the four Kumaras. When they came to Vaikuntha, they were absorbed in impersonal monism. However, when they encountered the personal features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they were transformed. Tasyara vimnam nayanasya mukhara vimda kinjalka nishra tulasi makarandavayu. They smelled the tulsi leaves coming from the aroma, the breeze that blew the aroma of tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord. And when it entered their nostrils, they were transformed, akshobhyam akshara. They were absorbed in oneness, but now they were stimulated by the personal feature of the Lord, the transcendental feature of the Lord, now to become devoted and dedicated to this personal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this, the Bhagavatam goes on to say, not in that same chapter, but in the same vein, presenting the same idea, yat para pankacha palasha vilasa bhaktya karmashrayam gratitam udgratayanti santa tadvanna ripta matayo yatayo pirudha shroto ganas tamaranam vajavasudevam. That the devotees, because they have this to relish, for instance, when devotees do deity worship, they see the pinkish feet of the Lord when they're putting flowers down. That has some effect on the heart and the mind. They put the Lord to rest. They take the form of the Lord, put him in a little bed at night, put a little cup of milk. You can't help but think of the personality. So the devotees have this. Yet para pankacha palasa vilasa bhaktya. There's variety and nectar that emanates from the personality of Krishna. And because they have that, karmashrayam gratitam udkratayam tisanta, these santas who are attached to the personal form of the Lord are able to cut the knots of attachment to the material world. This is an argument Prabhupada makes at the end of the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita when he says that all practitioners of devotional service must first overcome weakness of heart, irrational attachment to matter, and then investing oneself more and more in it and becoming more attached. It's called weakness of heart, otherwise known as woe, W-O-H. And then he suggests the first five verses of the Bhagavad Gita will divest us of this, or will give us strength and resolve to go ahead in spiritual life. And of course, the first five verses describe how we're lost in a material world that we can't understand, and we're simply looking at various varieties in the material world that have no meaning because we don't know how they're connected. So he said, you have to cut that down. Narupam asyeha taho palabhyate nanto nacharya nata sampratishta ashvatamenam suvaruda mulam asanga shastrena jritena chitva. Cut down your attachment to all the variety in the material world. And then, he says, now go after the personal form of the Lord. He's there in the spiritual world, so focus your attention there. So the words, karmashrayam gatitam utkratayanti santa, mean that because we have this, we can overcome. And then finally he said, tanrikta matayo yatayo piruta. Others who don't have that degree of specific knowledge, or they're not engaged in the panchatrik system, where they actually get to see the Lord and worship the personal features of the Lord, they'll be swept away. Rikta matayo means their minds are empty. They got nothing, they got nowhere to go. Rikta matayo yatayo pirudha shrotoganas. The waves, strong waves of desire that come along, like they're called in California along the coast, they're called sleeper waves. People go on their honeymoon and they stand on the coast, snap a nice picture, and a little further on the cliff, and these, every once in a while a huge wave comes along that no one expected to reach land, and it sweeps them away. And it's like, hey, we just got married. Well, there it goes. The material world's like that, and those who don't have the shelter of the Bhagavat Marga and the Panchatrik Vidhi, which focus one's attention on the personality of the Lord and his form and his names, his qualities and so forth, they'll be swept away by these sleeper waves, no matter how great of yogis they may be. So one can then identify with this as a practical matter that the process of bhakti yoga means to focus one's mind exclusively on Krishna. And by doing that, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, or he recommends, manmana bhavana bhakto, focus your mind, think of me. And ananyas chintayanto mam, he says, if you do that, don't worry. Everything will come naturally from that. And this, I would argue, would be the main affliction of all the people of the world. Although it seems like there are a variety of afflictions, there's actually one main affliction, and that is that people don't know that there's a personality of Godhead. It's that simple. Would you agree? Is that too simplified? Radhi Kuram? It's what? Sutra to the heart. Hey, it's Bhadri Narayan Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Thank you. This is the main problem in the world. That's why, that's where we come in. Prabhupada insisted that the Krishna book have 52 color plates when it was released. And that was a big deal because there are lots of spiritual books out there, but number one, they never name the personality of Godhead. I know I read them all before I came to the Krishna Consciousness Movement. I couldn't find one. I didn't find one that said anything about God being a person. Sometimes there were prayers, and I was thinking, who the heck are we praying to? Thou, thee, and no specific mention of who it is. But then I read the Back to Godhead magazine. There's a little advertisement for the Shirsha Upanishad. The ancient Vedas of India say that God is a person. And I sat there for 5 minutes thinking, somebody actually said it. How do they have the gall to come out and say that? I mean, people are avoiding this all over the planet. There are whole religious systems that don't come out and say it or tell people that you can't come out and say it. So the impetus of our sampradaya coming down from Brahma, who saw the Lord personally himself. In fact, it's mentioned in the second count of the Bhagavatam, Krishna shook hands with him. If anybody's wondering if he's a person, that answers the question. He meditated, he did his tapasya, and Krishna appeared and said, here I am. He did any instructions for me? He gave him specific instructions. The Chatur-Shloki Bhagavatam. Within those, Prabhupada gives in his commentary, he said, the direct instructions of the Lord are a manifestation of his internal potency, and it is by that specific potency that one comes to see the Lord face to face. And after he gave the instructions, he put out his lotus hand and he shook Brahma's hand. He said, Bhadram te, good luck, Brahma. That's very personal. We like that. That's sweet. But you know, he made sure that the world could see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and could read about his pastimes. And according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the medicine that will cure the ills of the world, realign people's focus. They're suffering for lack, as Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says, of a worthy object of vision. Where to place my attention? Bahusha kahinantaschai. It's all splayed out. But if one then comes in contact with Krishna, one has an idea where to place one's attention, one will become happy, the heart will become satisfied, yet pada pankacha palasha vilasa bhaktya. In fact, Bhagavatam even goes further later on, vikriditam rajavadu viraham cha vishnu shadhanvito na shinuyara varna yadya bhaktim param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam hrid rogam ashva pahinot yacharena tira. If you come to be fascinated, if you have faith in, you develop your faith and you become fascinated with the beautiful pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan, with his friends and lovers, you'll be able to overcome altogether the rogue disease of the heart, which is lust. Irrational attachment to the variety of the material world, which obviously won't last, but people have nowhere else to go. So it's our job to give them somewhere to go, to present the Panchatrik everywhere, where people can walk in and sit down in the temple. Bless their hearts. These people, I see them sitting in the Chicago temple last year, and I just saw people coming in before work. They're on their way to work, and they sit down for about 10 minutes. They're not doing anything except just sitting there looking at the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was standing by watching about 4 or 5 people, and I was thinking, what a blessed scene. They're able to just sit there and look at Krishna and then go on their way. Life satisfied, happy. What about everybody else? They get to see Home Depot, Walmart, millions of 7-Elevens. This will not satisfy the heart. And whatever images they're seeing more and more of on Facebook, which is an interesting indication also, relates to this because we're talking about basically this idea Hiranmayena patrena satyasyapihita mukam. Everyone wants to see the face of the Lord. As everyone's looking at Facebook, that's why it's attractive. I mean, don't you hate it? You go on Facebook, you're looking somebody up, and they don't even put their face on there. They're just that little non-specific image. They didn't want to put their face in for some reason. Or they put all pictures of everybody else, but not of them. It's like, who is this person? We want to know. And that's what devotees want also. And the people of the world want it, but they're not getting it. So we have it. So it's our duty to give it to the people of the world through Panchatriks, Vidhi, and Bhagavat Marg, mass distribution of knowledge about who the personality of God is, systematic teachings everywhere to bring people up from the lowest levels to the highest levels of understanding of why God could be a person, scientifically presented. Then the world becomes satisfied. And Krishna Conscious Movement is the only hope to do this, because we're the only ones that have the information in such an organized way and the infrastructure to make sure that it goes out to the entire world. So we have to tolerate whatever inconveniences we're now undergoing in various ways. Anybody? Inconvenience? Two people only. Well, that's not bad. And I'll just read, before I take reflections, this verse, which happened to be the verse they asked me to read today from the Sri Dharmadharashtakam. O Lord, your lotus face, which is encircled by locks of soft black hair tinged with red, is kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda, and your lips are reddish like the bimba fruit. May this beautiful vision of your lotus face be ever manifest in my heart. Thousands and thousands of other benedictions are no use to me. Need I say more? I mean, that's proof of the way that the acharyas present our philosophy and ask us to meditate. And now I'll take a few reflections. Reflection, Bhadra Narayan Maharaj. The microphone is on its way in 7 seconds or less.
So, you know, I've heard this before, and it's just wishful thinking. Because we have a form, therefore we can only think in the sense of forms. So we reject the idea that the Absolute has a form, because that's all we can relate to and understand. Because our own limited scope of conception. We see order in the world. There's no order, there's no pattern. When we were hunter-gatherers, we had to sort information, and therefore we just form things. You know, we project order and pattern, because that's the only way we can process so much information that's coming at us. So really, there's no form, there's no order. It is just your wishful thinking.
Thank you.
Should we move on to the next person?
In our interactions with people, we find that they're actually living entities. There are living entities inside, and they have feelings. And they have feelings that go in a certain direction. It's one of the benefits of teaching Krishna consciousness to others. Although there may be rationalities to avoid coming to the point of accepting that there's a personality that from whom everything else emanates. It is a very logical supposition, that there is a personality, because logically the source, a divine source of everything, will have everything that is there within creation and more, because it's the source of that. Beyond such logical arguments, we find that people who are logically opposed to the idea of God. As Krishna mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, this is the manifestation of krodha, or anger. There's so many conflicting ideas about the personality of God, and they don't seem to match up well. And therefore, the person becomes annoyed, angry, actually. It's a kind of a deep anartha within the heart. However, we see as teachers of Krishna consciousness that people's hearts change when they come in contact, specifically with prasadam, with devotees. And this is very this informs us that the medicine that we have works, and that the way in which Narada Muni is presenting to Srila Vyasadeva is actually that we should think about Krishna is proper alignment. I've seen a personal experience in my life. My mother was a intellectual. She was a professor. She was a sociologist. She had a lot of ideas that she would love to discuss with me about Krishna consciousness, but not in a theological sense, more in the sense of how interesting it was that people could come up with such constructs and social interaction, symbolic interactionism. And after her, my father, they were married for 69 years, he died, and her life changed. Her construct of life changed. And she started looking for shelter. And I personally witnessed, because I spent the last year with her on and off, and then very intensely for the last 2 months, I saw that she needed some other construct besides sociology to understand what she was going through. And because I was there to present Krishna consciousness, she grabbed onto it, which totally shocked me. I mean, I've never been so shocked in my life that she would actually embrace it, and not just superficially, but actually I saw a soul taking shelter in my relationship with her changed before she left. And in such experiences, we see the natural propensity of the soul that gravitates towards the sweetness of the concept that we have a personal relationship with God, and we need shelter. That's all for now. Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you, Maharaj. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. As time changes, before we are hearing Bhagavatam and everything, the Prabhupada gave one example of his telephone. He said it was very difficult to get the telephone during those times. He has to pay the price and get the telephone. So, night time, people are asking, how are you? Neither they want, what is this? This is a disturbance. So, sometimes we feel that whatever the technology is coming, sometimes this technology will feel disturbance. That is the problem.
It was a reflection, basically. I'll just make a quick comment. My idea, philosophy is, if it's worth speaking, it's worth broadcasting. I mean, if it's not worth broadcasting, unless it's a private meeting, but if it's worth speaking in public, then broadcast it. Otherwise, we're guilty of not using those things that are obviously being made available to us by Lord Chaitanya to spread the movement in a mass way. And therefore, go big, don't go small. Don't become a Luddite and think, okay, let's shy away from technology. Fully embrace it. The way that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did, the way that Srila Prabhupada did, and we should also, but extremely selectively, for giving complete thrust to the passing on the mission of Krishna consciousness, we should go high-end on everything. In fact, when we build a new temple, my feeling is that that brick and mortar, yes, it's important, but simultaneously, we should also develop with as much verve and with as much investment the digital presence that we have that goes along with it so that we connect people. So we're not afraid of technology. We see it as an energy that Krishna has given us. It's like electricity. Don't touch it on the wrong end. You'll be sorry. But take full advantage of it so that the Krishna conscious movement can expand. Other reflections? Yes, Chandrasekhar Prabhu. Nice to see you.
Hi, Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Sometimes devotees have discussions on Bhagavad Mark and Pancharatika, which you mentioned several times in your lecture, in terms of defining specifically what constitutes and what does not constitute Pancharatika or Bhagavad Mark, or where like geographically speaking, at a temple, for example, or in one's home, Bhagavata Mara takes place, or Bhajaratra takes place. And given that both are very different from my limited understanding in terms of rules and regulations, in terms of their very constituency, I was wondering if you could, you know, explain to us, or at least to me, clarify the distinction between Bhagavata Mara and Bhajaratra.
You mean for living in a house?
Or in a temple context, for example. Like, for example, right now, my understanding is that we're doing Bhagavata Mara.
Yeah.
Here in the chanting.
And it's working out all right. You know, we've got the deities there, and then no one has their back to the deities, really, and we worship the deities, and then we have that. They meld together quite nicely, I think. If you have a home, you can have an altar, where you can see the form of the Lord and bow down to Him and offer Him a plate of food and say, please, would you accept this? And then you can invite friends over, family, and you can chant Harinam and then read from the Bhagavad Gita. And then you've got both together. And yeah, so they go sometimes described, you know, there are two trains on different tracks. You need both the tracks that take you along. But I think they're quite... what I see, they're integrated quite well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. 1, 2. Keep your hand up so they can see you. Okay. What's that?
Param Dushwani Vartate.
Param Dushwani Vartate.
How does it happen in individual life? For each one of us.
In other words, how does one get a higher taste in one's individual life? Well, my experience is mostly by association. This is given as the most expedient way, the most efficient way to get a higher taste is to associate with those who are already on a higher level, because we're very susceptible to our environment. So the little jiva is marginal and can go any way, either way. We're open to suggestion. So if we put ourselves in the association of those who already have a higher vibration going, then we'll naturally pick up on that vibration. So one has to use one's intelligence. This is actually the meaning of intelligence, to be able to put yourself in front of transcendental sound vibration, which means in the association of devotees who are like-minded, who have more impetus to hear and chant. That's very helpful. Also, if one doesn't have a taste, if we have intelligence, we can regulate our lives in such a way that we will get a taste. As Krishna describes in the end of the third chapter of the Gita, when he says, evam buddhi param buddhva samstab yatmanam atmana jahi shatram mahabaho kamarupa durasadam. He said you should use deliberate spiritual intelligence to bring yourself up to the level of a spiritual taste. Because in the beginning I may not have taste, but at least I can have intelligence. Enough intelligence to follow the process properly, and then I'll get a taste. Yes?
Thank you, Shri Guru. My question is, a little bit about purifying my consciousness. So my question is, since your right one is asking the regarding the benediction he asked, I learned that the benediction he asked, it's not one of the highest desire. And when we read the Dhamma, the Rashtaka, it looks he's very upfront about asking the benediction and also referring to Nala Kubera and Manipiva and insisting to get this benediction. So I was wondering, this prayer has been given so much importance, especially in a whole year we have 1 month of Dhamma Ashtaka chanting and praying, meditating. If you can say something.
Could you redefine what you mean by that?
The prayers that Satya Raghuram is, the benediction he's asking to the Lord.
Which is?
To to always see the vision of the Lord?
Yeah, that's a good thing to ask for. Devotees pray in different ways. And as Radhika Raman, the great pundit and pure devotee who lectures around ISKCON, grew up in Krishna consciousness, points out, the prayers that we often find tedious throughout the Bhagavatam show the relationship of the particular devotee with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we pray, really what's in our heart is going to come out. And we have to do the best we can with what we have right now. And of course we can offer prayers from those who are more advanced, and we do that. But ultimately Krishna knows what's in our heart. Kashyapa Muni sat for 10,000 years in meditation. And when the Lord appeared on Garuda, he was very touched by the sage, actually. He shed a tear out of compassion for him. And then he offered Kashyapa prayers to the Lord and mentioned that he had a particular desire. He wanted a wife. And Lord Narayan said, yeah, I already know. I've arranged for it also. And he left it up to the Supreme Lord to take care of. Prithu Maharaj, in his prayers, says, my Lord, just like a son doesn't know enough and therefore asks his father what he should do, similarly, I'm offering my prayers. I don't know what to ask for because they'll probably ask for the wrong thing. And therefore, you decide what kind of thing I should ask for. But in these prayers, the devotees perfectly aligned in asking to see the form of the Lord. This is very much in line with the verse we're hearing today, that to let me see your face. And as I mentioned, there's two verses in the Sri Upanishad, including Hiranmayena Patrena, etc. And the other one is, anyway, there's another verse that, what is it? So these prayers are prayers of a liberated devotee, and when we repeat them and think about seeing the beautiful face of the Lord, we're reminded again and again that the goal of life is very simple. It's to focus our mind on the beautiful form of the Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
What should be right mode during meditation? Like, that's the one to see God's face to the Lord. And from the other hand, Bhaktivedanta Swami Thakur said we shouldn't aspire to see the Lord, we should inspire the Lord to see us by our service. So what we should avoid during darshan?
No, we should not avoid darshan. It's the Lord's instruction to us to think of Him. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. Just think of me. And then there are many instructions about how to do that throughout our panchatrik system. For instance, we greet the deities and they should be dressed in a certain way and we meditate upon the Lord. At the same time, we shouldn't think that we'll be able to see the Lord without His mercy. He reveals Himself according to the qualification of the devotee. So we should make ourselves qualified so that He'll reveal Himself. Navina Prabhu, were you going to... Okay. Prabhu in the back for the close.
Thanks. Krishna mission for so many years. Now with the digital books coming up, people are reading more on the mobiles and all. So how do you see the future of Krishna mission? How is it going?
How do you know they're reading more on mobiles? How do you know that they're reading more on mobiles than they are in books?
That's my
It could be anecdotal. I mean, there are lots of different studies, and of course statistics can present all kinds of things, but the studies we've been reading recently show that although there's an obvious increase in readership in the digital media, books have not diminished at all. They're not being challenged by the digital world. So we're all for digital world, we're all for representing the sound vibration in whatever way it can be consumed in a mass level. And at the same time, the book is beloved of human society. Now humans just like books. It's one of the things they like. Even if they don't read them, they keep them on their shelves. Any home you go to doesn't have a book, bookshelf, run. Get out of there as quick as you can. Especially if they don't have Prabhupada's books. You should help them put a book in. So books, people like books. They like the weight of them. They like the fact that there's a finite number of pages. It doesn't go on forever like in digital. They also like digital, but books are still there. So we should distribute as many of both as we possibly can. Sometimes the digital backs up the written because it's easier to look things up. Which brings me to the point, at 11 o'clock, we're going to have a discussion over in Balaram Hall about the ways in which to expand the Sankirtan movement. I have a few ideas, and I can share some of those. I mean, they're not my ideas, I'm just a broker from various places around the world, from people around the world who are finding some genius to spread the Krishna conscious movement. We'll be sharing those over at Balaram Hall at 11 o'clock for just a little while. I'll give you practical ideas of ways in which you can improve your life personally so that you'll feel inspired to distribute the Krishna conscious movement, and also very practical ways that you can organize your life and your communities so that you can increase book distribution, prasadam, harinam, and so forth in very simple ways. And they're all guaranteed, or your money back from the seminar this afternoon. Yes, sir.
By Shishikam Wisdom. We've written a wonderful book, Our Family Business, The Great Art of Distributing Srila Prabhupada's Books. It will be available after class right now in front of Balaram Hall. If anybody would like to get a copy, they're only 300 rupees. And during the seminar or later today, you can also get the book signed.
By the way, it's not my book. It belongs to the BBT. I signed over the rights. The money goes to the local temple here. I'm not collecting money. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande Hari Bhava. Vanchakalpa Durvishcha Kripa Sinabeva Cha Patitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nantakoti Vaishnavini Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Kartik Vrat Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Hari Bhava.
Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman. Hey! Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman Nacharyar Marman.